Edward, what is transcendental consciousness and physics? What is that?
Well, physics, of course, is the study of the interaction of matter and energy in time and space. Simple as that. Transcendental physics actually includes consciousness in that study. So it's matter and energy, time and space, and consciousness. That's the basic difference between physics and transcendental physics.
Here you are. You're a physicist, a mathematician, cosmologist. You are a pure scientist. How did you get interested? How did you get involved in the study of consciousness?
Well, that's a good question. I went through the more or less standard education in mathematics and physics, and was very interested in relativity and quantum physics. And this all was very well, except during my life I'd experienced things that didn't seem to fit within that paradigm. And so I felt that there was something missing, that if there is a reality, then it has to include all the things that are real or that can be experienced by human beings. And so I felt from early on, even when I was in college, at Central Methodist College in North Central Missouri, mm-hmm. I felt as a physics math major there that it needed to be expanded to include these other things. And I fortunately had a physics professor and a couple of other professors who were interested enough in to allow me to use some of their equipment and so forth to carry out some experiments. So I was experimenting early on with the interface between mind and matter, if you will.
And what did those experiments teach you or show you?
They showed me without a doubt that there is a reality that includes a whole lot more than than our current materialistic paradigm mm-hmm. includes. I just realized that we had limited our science for many years for good reasons. I mean, early on, scientists had to divorce themselves from alchemy and various types of pseudoscience and so forth, and they did that by just closing the door on anything that couldn't be immediately weighed and measured. And that's fine, but at some point, and we're definitely at that point now, that paradigm needs to be expanded to include everything that we experience.
As a physicist, as a scientist, are you a believer now in other dimensions, the multiverses?
Yes, as a matter of fact, a large part of the mathematics that I developed over a number of years that go into reality begins with consciousness and will be explained in more detail in our second book, which is entitled Space, Time, and Consciousness. And I just became more and more convinced
yeah.
that this was the way to go, and really the way that science needs to go. It's kind of been in a dead end because of automatically limiting itself to a materialistic paradigm. So a lot of the mathematics that I developed involves something that I call dimensional extrapolation, and a whole system of mathematical geometry, which for higher dimensions, which I call dimensionometry, that really helps to understand conceptually that, yes, additional dimensions do exist. I found that there's a lot of confusion in the general public about what dimensions are. So I started out by making some definitions. And I can go into those in a little more detail if you want me to.
I'd love, sure. And how many dimensions are we talking about, Edward?
Well, the mathematical approach of dimensional extrapolation that I developed and we used in the in developing the reality begins with consciousness paradigm reveals at least 10 dimensions.
Wow. Okay.
And that actually coincides with a lot of the string theory physicists. However, they will talk about dimensions as being either time-like or space-like. And in fact, I show mathematically that there are three dimensions of space, three dimensions of time, and three dimensions of consciousness. Now, a dimension, and this is where people have confused the issue. A dimension, the word dimension or other dimensions is used very vaguely. But if you realize that a dimension is defined by variables of extent, and other variables exist, but they are not dimensions. They are variables of content. For instance, space, time, and consciousness are measured and described in terms of variables of extent. But mass and energy and events and information are described in terms of variables of content. So with that clarification, then, and using the basic mathematics that's been developed over the centuries, we can show that there are possibly many more dimensions, but at the 10th dimension, you actually enter into what we've called transfinite dimension.
And what is that?
And that's mathematically, the difference is that space dimensions are described in terms of real numbers and also irrational numbers, but specific types of numbers. And time, and this started with Einstein and Minkowski, and we've just simply carried it further. Time is described in terms of variables of extent, which are duration and so forth, and consciousness is described in terms of extent of thought and thought energy. Now, the mathematics shows that when you get to three dimensions, you can no longer extrapolate into a fourth dimension using real numbers. You have to, only way you can extrapolate mathematically is to use imaginary numbers. Well, actually, that's what Hermann Minkowski did for the Einstein theory of relativity. Einstein called it unnecessary mathematical sophistication when he first was confronted with it, but once he saw that it enabled him to take time as a fourth dimension, he incorporated it into the theory of relativity. And there were other attempts to do this by people, physicists called Kaluza and Klein, who each went into five dimensions and showed that much of wave theory, electromagnetic waves and light waves and sound waves and so forth could be derived from a five-dimensional reality. And Einstein himself was very interested in that. So in a way, this is just extending Einstein's work.